This is our last Sunday in the book of Philippians. We've been going through the book of Philippians now for a few weeks now, and we're going to be finishing it off today. I want to just spend a little bit of time just to kind of remind you of where we've been a little bit, at least even just for last week, so that you can kind of recall where we were, where we're going. If you remember, I challenged you guys last week. Paul was talking to the, he's written this letter to the Philippian church, and they are saying, he's been telling them, hey, you know, there's two sisters in the church that are, their name is Euodia and Syntyche, and they're having some problems. They're having disagreements. And so Paul has been sharing with this church, hey, I want you guys to work out your differences. I want you guys to be united, to be one in spirit, one in mind, okay? If Jesus Christ has done anything in your lives to encourage you at all, okay, be united, be like-minded. So throughout the whole book, he's been telling them this, and he's been giving them clues and hints of how to do this, how to be united as one body. One of the verses that we looked at back in Philippians 2, again, was don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Okay? And so I said, hey, but are you practicing this? Because Paul last week, he was basically boiling down to the, okay, now I've talked with you about this. Now I want you to go ahead and just do it. I want you to practice it. So I asked you guys, are you practicing it? And remember that As the church functions together, as we love each other in relationships and are united, then we begin to see God. When we see one another loving each other, we begin to see God, and also people outside of the church begin to see and experience God when they see this kind of thing happening. And so I boil it down to like this, or I kind of wanted to give you guys a way to apply it. And this, I encourage you mainly for your parents, but you could also, this principle applies to anyone. I said, look, if you want to do this, if you want to look at not only to your own interests, but to other interests, the people of other interests as well, other people's interests as well, here's how you can settle agreements, okay? One way is to, again, with your parents, you know, first just to take an interest in their point of view, all right? Take an interest in their point of view, sincerely. See, like, if you're in an argument with them, if you're trying to work through something with them, say, what is it that you're really saying to me? What is it, how is it that you feel? What is it your point of view? Okay? Also, ask why they feel the way that they do. And again, if you're in an argument with anyone else, a brother or sister within the church, or with your parents, say, okay, this is your viewpoint. Hey, really, why do you feel that way? Why, you know, and I gave you a kind of a scenario of an argument that might occur. Why do you feel that way? And really, again, it's all about heart, right? It's all about attitude. Because if we go in there and if we're angry, if we're upset, and if we go in there with an attitude of the way that we ask them, it might change the way they respond. So go in with an attitude of humility and say, hey, why do you feel it the way that you do? And last, see if you can tell back to them what they've just said to you. Say if you can say, okay, so the reason why we're having a disagreement, the reason why you're angry is because of this, because you feel this, okay? This is a way that we can begin to practice taking other people's points of views, taking other people's interests, and putting them above our own. You know, and I know most of the times we want to be understood. We want to be, when we're in an argument with somebody, we want to be understood. But what we need to do is begin to, like, get outside of our own shoes and begin to look at other people's interests. And again, this may not solve the problem, but it will open up avenues for you to begin to figure out and work through solutions, okay? So today, why don't we open, that was kind of what we went through last week, why don't we open up in prayer, and then we're going to get into the passage that we're going through today. Father, we thank you for Paul, and we thank you for the way that you inspired him, to write to the Philippians. Lord, I think of Luke's prayer and of Luke's story, and gosh, this is really what we want. Help us to be more passionate for you. Help us to love deeper, to go deeper with you, with our walks with you, with our love for you, with our passion for you. This summer, Father, we've got more time than we've had. You know, we've got less classes, less workload. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us as a church, help us as a ministry when summer is normally a time when we've got a time of rest to go deeper with you, to spend time with you, to love you, to be in your word, to pray to you, to worship you. Help us this morning to be changed and to be transformed. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so it's Father's Day today, right? So I wanted to share with you, maybe if you haven't gotten a Father's Day gift yet or a card or something, here's some unique gifts that you can think about. Okay, some unique gifts you can think about. All right, for a cool $775, okay, I looked at some unique gifts, you can have a one-day caged shark dive off of either the coast of, or actually off of either out of Los Angeles or San Francisco. They actually take you down. I read about this. They take you down, and you're actually in one of the shark cages, and they put some chum in the water, and they use decoys, and great white sharks will actually come up to the cage. What a great gift that would be for a dad, huh? What a great gift that would be for a dad. That would be so awesome, you know? Maybe if we could pull our money together or something. I don't know. Here's another one, okay? The ultimate spy experience. A little more expensive for $1,150 for one day. You can have an amazing spy experience. And again, I was reading about this. This company, I think it's Great American Days, and they provide experiences for people. You can go there, and they have people who've actually worked for the CIA for part of some are British, who've been spies, who've worked for Navy SEALs and so, and they will actually train you, and they'll train you in like driving a car like on TV, like where you like make stops and stuff like that. It's a whole day's experience, but it is quite pricey. It's $1,150. Okay, here's another one. If you ever dreamed about being a fighter pilot, this would be really cool. Okay, so you actually get to go up into a jet for $1,195. And you don't get to fly. Actually, they said you can put your hands on the control, and you can actually fly while you're up there a little bit. But when they land and take off, you got to take your hands off the control. But you do get to actually, there's other planes, and you actually do like a pretend dog fight and experience the G's and like the barrel rolls of a real like fighter pilot, you know. So that's kind of cool. It's like Top Gun or something. All right, here's another one. Weightless flight, okay. So for $3,750. Honey, think about this for next year for me, okay? So you can go up and you can fly up, and they've got a Boeing 747 that they've especially equipped so that basically I think you experience like 3 minutes or so of weightlessness. So you actually feel and experience what it's like to be in space, okay? Great gift. And the last one, and I thought of this for Luke, okay? Ultimate rock star fantasy, right? For a cool $9,000, you can share the stage with, I don't know, they didn't have actual names, so I don't know like what kind of rock stars, but actually, yeah, you go and play guitar, you can do any instrument, but you share the stage with apparently some stars, and this is in New York or Philadelphia. Those are the only two choices, but yeah, some great gifts, okay? And so, other than just connecting this with gifts, like, actually, as we think about gifts, as we think about Paul, actually, is his whole letter, basically his whole letter to the Philippians, much of his letter, is a thank you note for a gift that he's received. Because, again, if you remember the storyline, is basically Paul is in jail, and he's writing a thank you note to the Philippians saying, hey, thank you very much for the support that you've sent me. And so the main purpose of the portion of the letter that we're looking at today is that he wants to show the Philippians that, hey, I really appreciate your support. I appreciate the money that you've sent me. But actually, he's got a twist on it. And we'll see this in the text that we're going to look at soon. He appreciates their gift, but the best part of their generosity, he says, does not lie within the gift itself or the help which it's received. The best part of their generosity is that they've increased their heavenly account. Okay? So Paul is saying, look, I really appreciate your gift, but as we'll see here, he's going to say, but that's not even the best part of the gift. Okay, that's not even the best part of the gift. So let's take a look at the last Paul of Paul's letters to the Philippians. Okay? It says this. Philippians 4:10. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know that you've always been concerned for me, but didn't have the chance to help me. So Paul begins to share his joy. He's like, hey, I am so thankful. I feel so joyful. He started his letter out like this, and he's ending his letter like this. I feel so joyful for you guys that you have shown concern, real concern for me, tangible concern for me. And even though Paul, what is Paul? What is his trade? Anyone know his trade? What he does for a living to raise money? Say what? Tent maker, yes. So even though Paul is a tent maker, he's got a way of supporting himself in ministry. The Philippians had generously supplemented his attempts to establish other churches in Macedonia and Achaia. So the Philippians have been supporting him. Even though he is a tent maker, he's supporting himself in some ways. He has been supported by this church. And so what happened, though, is we know that actually, that even though the Philippians, when he says, look, I appreciate it. Up to this point, you've been trying to support me, but I understand. And now I'm really excited that you're supporting me again because I haven't seen your support for a while, but I'm excited. But we know that actually it wasn't because they just forgot about Paul, but because actually those in Macedonia, the Philippians, were actually going through tough times. We know in Corinthians. Now, I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. Philippians. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. And so, again, they are, even though they've been supporting him in the past, they went through a really tough time. Paul says, I missed your support, but I'm really joyful that you're back now, and you're supporting my ministry, supporting me, showing concern for me. And now last night, in regeneration, okay, I know Flood again is going through temptation, and we are going through a series called Rethink. And last night we talked about rethinking greed or money. And this talks about how the Macedonians were poor, and yet they still said, hey, but we still want to support and give to the ministry that you're doing, Paul. And I said last night, I said to you guys, hey, I know that you guys, I didn't say this last night, but I know that you guys are also in some ways, or I discovered that some of you ways, you guys are also poor. Okay, you guys are poor. And not in a poor, in a sense of like, okay, we don't have food, we don't have shelter, you know, we can't do this. But I noticed, again, I asked you guys, I asked Regeneration, how many of you guys are getting jobs? And for the summer, only like two raise their hands. I mean, there's only two of us to get jobs. Okay, so I know that a lot of you guys don't have a source of income. But I challenged our group last night, and I want to challenge you guys as well. I challenged the group last night to begin thinking about, even though you're poor. Okay, kind of not really poor, but even though you don't have a lot of money, I begin to challenge you guys to think about how you might be able to begin to get into the practice of giving, just like the Macedonians. I said, hey, why don't you guys, And I want you to take this challenge seriously and see how your parents respond. I said, why don't you guys ask your parents? Because I know that when I surveyed you, some of you, there's only a couple of you that had jobs, and the rest of you got money from your parents. I said, why don't you, and most of you got money, like the way it worked, it seemed like, is that you got money when you asked. You know, like if I need lunch money, I just say, hey, could I have lunch money? If I'm going to a movie, I say, hey, can I just go out and have a few bucks for, well, now it's not a few bucks, can I have 10 bucks for to see the movie, okay? All right, or lunch or whatever. And so I know that normally the way it works for you guys is that, hey, when you need some money, you just go and ask your parents and they provide for you. But I said, hey, why don't we do this? Why don't we have a different kind of way that we operate as with money? I said, I challenged Regeneration, why don't you go ahead and ask your parents for a set amount of money each month? How many of you guys here, how many of you guys get like an allowance of some sort where you just get a set? Okay, so some of you already have this. So, but I asked you guys, hey, why don't you, if you don't have this, go to your parents and say, could I have maybe $30 a month instead of me going, some of that's low for you, some of that's high for you, okay? I said, why don't you go and ask your parents, like today, or maybe wait till Father's Day is over, today, go and say, go up to your parents and say, hey, could I have $50? Can I have $30? Can I have $20? Whatever it is that you think that you could work out with your parents each month. So instead of going up to your parents every time you need some a lunch or need to go to a movie or something like that, you go up to them and say, hey, could every month, could I just have a set amount, okay? And I will work within this amount. Whether I go to movies, whether I go out, this is what I get every single month, okay? And I'm responsible for this money, and I will be the manager of this money. You can watch how I spend it, but this is the money that you're giving to me. And I challenge you guys, okay, so once you have that, and again, don't go up to your parents and say, Pastor Brady asked you to ask me for some money, ask you for some money. So don't say to your parents, Pastor Brady said, ask for $50 every month, okay? So you got to work that out with your family. But here's what I want you to do. Again, I want you to ask your parents to see if you can set an allowance so that you can begin practicing the practice of budgeting your money. Because again, the real world, right? The real world, once you especially get into college and definitely outside of college, the real world is you will have a set income, okay? You will have a set amount of money. And so that you can begin to practice budgeting. If it's $5 a week, that's fine. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter so much the amount. It's the practice and the heart that goes into how you're spending, where you're spending. Practice budgeting and giving. Okay, so if it is $5 a week, maybe just every week, then we always make this announcement every week, almost every week. We say, in the back, there's a box. You can put your tithes back there. We open it up, and there's nothing in there, really. There's nothing in there. You know, there's really nothing in there. But maybe $5. Say if your parents said, okay, I'll give you $5 a week, that, and you know, again, we know, we had this conversation last night. You know, we know, said, like, well, it's not really my money. I didn't earn it or anything like that. But it gets you in the habit of giving away. Because that if you had $5, you gave one every week into the box, you have four left, right? So you can do whatever you can do with $4. Whatever you can do with $4. But you know what? You could choose. You could take those $4 and you could give it to, you could totally give it away to another ministry. You could put all $5 in there. You could, you know, you could do whatever you want, you know, with it. You could save it up for something. What you begin to do with your money will show what you value. You know, kind of shows like what's going on within you, and it'll show like what you value, because you're like, okay, well, I'm giving all my $5 every week, which I'm not saying to do, but I'm saying, okay, I'd like to do that, or I'd like to give. We do these, famine, 30-hour famines, and we support World Vision. So like, hey, I'm going to give my $4 a week to, or maybe I'll save $4.44 and give it to World Vision at the end of the month, something like that. Okay, whatever you want to do. So my challenge to you is to ask, okay? And then also, Here's a second challenge for you. Second challenge, okay? Learn to give out of any increase that you have. Okay, so maybe you go to your parents, and your parents say, no, I don't think that's a good idea. But I know that some of you are going to China, and some of you are going to Taiwan this summer. And I learned, okay, that I learned when you go to China, and when you go to Taiwan, somehow you end up with more money. Because I hear your relatives are very, very giving and generous when you go over there. So, what will you do with your increase? What will you do with your increase? Okay, I don't know, maybe it's $50, maybe it's $100. I don't know how much you come back, but what will you do with your increase? And I know some of you say, hey, Brady, that's my birthday money, or that's my money that my relatives gave to me, okay? That's not like I didn't earn that money. I'm not working for that money. That was a gift to me, okay? But God says, no. You know what? God says, hey, what I want you to do with your money is I want you to hold out your hands, and I'll put in to your hand, and I won't take out, okay? So like this. And then like also like this, so that we don't hold our money tightly, but we say, God, if you want to increase, you can put in money. Hey, that's great. I'm excited. God, if you call me to give, I'm excited to give too, just like the Macedonians. Okay, so these are the two challenges I want you to think about. Think about giving out of any of your increase. So when you get back from Taiwan or from China, you've been given this amount, ask God, how much would you like for me to give? You know, how much would you like for me to give? All right? So, begin practicing. And so, again, what was cool about the Macedonians is that they even gave out of their poverty, just like you guys give out of your kind of pseudo-poverty, okay? Even though we're pretty wealthy, your pseudo-poverty, okay? So again, Paul wanted to share with the Philippians his joy that the Philippians once again showed concern for him. But then Paul does something kind of different, okay? So he's like, hey, thank you guys. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I take great joy that you're showing concern for me again. But he does something a little bit different. Look at this. He says, not that I was ever in need, for I learned the secret of being content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's on a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Philippians 4:11-14. So Paul says, you know what, again, I really appreciate your concern for me. I really do. I appreciate your gift. But ultimately, he says, ultimately, my contentment does not lie in the gift that you gave to me. Look, I'm in prison or jail or house arrest, and conditions are not great for me. Conditions are not ideal for me. And your gift does help. But ultimately, whether your gift came or whether it did not come, I would still have contentment. I would still have an amazing contentment. All right? So having a little money, Paul is like, being in jail is not so good. Having a little extra money is nice, but it really does not move his contentment up or down, okay? It really doesn't bring total satisfaction to him. So wouldn't it be nice to be able to say what Paul says? Okay? Wouldn't it be able to say, whether I have a lot or whether I have little, I can still be content. Whether I have clothes from Abercrombie or whether I have clothes from JCPenney, I'm still content. It doesn't matter to me, okay? So wouldn't it be freeing? Wouldn't it be amazingly free to say, I'll be content in any circumstance? Whether I have a lot, I'll be content. You know, and again, listen to what he says. He says, even if I've learned the secret of being content, if I have little or everything, he can be content with everything as well, with a lot or little, okay? Here's his secret, okay? Again, and we talked about this in the beginning. What's Paul's secret to being content, whether he has a lot or little, okay? Back in Philippians 1:18, he says, he's talking about, hey, there's some that are preaching the gospel out of malice, trying to bring Paul down, kind of competing with him and so forth, not doing it in a really good manner. But he says, hey, you know what? That doesn't matter to me. That doesn't matter to me. Whether their motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached, so I rejoice and I continue to rejoice. Here's the secret to being content. If you can find contentment and satisfaction fully in God, everything else will begin to fade. Everything else begins to pale in comparison. Whether you whether you got an A or a B, if you can say, look, I studied my hardest, I want to excel in school, and I tried my darnest, but I got a B on this test, you can say, look, that doesn't really matter. Even though I got a B, it's okay. Because you know why? Because my contentment, my joy doesn't come from my GPA. My joy and my contentment doesn't come from brands that I wear, you know? My joy and my contentment doesn't come, you know, from all these extenuating circumstances, okay? It comes from Christ. That's the secret. That's the secret, okay? And people would love to know that secret, to go, how is it that you're content all the time? How is it that you find joy all the time, you know? This is the secret, okay? All right. I've learned the secret of being content in every circumstance. Whatever I have, okay? So are you learning? Are you learning to grow in being content, okay? Are you maturing in your walk with Christ, and that the more you mature, the deeper you go, the further you become in love with Christ, that you become more and more content? Is that happening in your life now? Or is it not happening? Is it not happening? Is it that, you know, you're discontent because of this or that or this or that, you know? Are you growing in your contentment? It should be happening. He said, I learned the secret of being content. It didn't just happen, right? He learned it. He learned it. So Paul wanted to, at some level, minimize the gift that he'd received, but not how the Philippians read into as his ingratitude. He said, like, look, I'm really thankful. I want to minimize. He said, I don't really need this gift. I'm thankful that you gave it to me. I don't want you to come across as ingratitude. All right? So here's what he says. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. So he, again, commends them. Hey, thanks. I don't want it to come across as ingratitude. Thank you. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you to the good news and then traveled from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. And listen to this. This is key, okay? I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. So Paul says, look, even though I'm not in really in need, I appreciate the gift. I've learned to be content. But really, it is you guys that I'm excited for. It is you, because you are giving out. This is why I'm excited for you. I'm so excited about the gift that I've received, not the money that I've received. But what I am excited about is that you have begun to give, okay? That you are seeing, you are getting it. You are getting it. Here's another version of it. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. Paul says the gift is important, but more important is the fact that the Philippians now have an eternal perspective. They are beginning to develop an eternal perspective. When we can move from having a temporal things of like thinking about, just material things, clothes, circumstances, and so forth. When we began to think about our money, our resources, not in the temporal sense, but in like eternity, that we are storing up for ourselves for eternity, that we are investing in eternity, that as the Macedonians supported Paul was able to share the good news with people. People came to know the Lord, and those people have now an eternity. the Macedonians, you think that when we give to World Vision, you think that when we give to missions, it kind of goes into some kind of zone that we never see again. But what it does is it empowers people to share the gospel so that they can have an eternity. So when you give to missions, you're investing in people's lives. You're investing in eternity, okay? You're investing in eternity. So they are, the Philippians are getting it. Have you ever seen this before? Have you ever seen anyone who has died? They're in the hearse, and they've got a U-Haul of their stuff behind it. Yeah. No one's ever. I mean, I guess back in the Egyptian days, they'd like bury their cat and their stuff and gold and stuff with them. But really, you never see this. I've never been to a funeral where you see a U-Haul after it, and people bring their stuff. There's an old saying that says you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. Okay, you can send it on ahead, and that's kind of a lighter way or a kind of a shallower way of putting it. But this is what Paul is saying to the Philippians: is that go ahead and store up your treasures in heaven. This is what Christ said: do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust can destroy, and where thieves can break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And so this is why I wanted to challenge you today. This is why I wanted to challenge you today to start giving. Because once you get into the practice of when you have money and releasing it, like letting it go, not holding on to it so tight, when you get into the practice of giving, something happens in your heart. God begins to change you from the inside out. So you don't think, well, what's the difference if I give a dollar each week into that little box, you know? But what it is it's beginning to help you to have the habit of being able to give out. Or when you start giving into missions, and maybe some of you already are, God begins to change you from within. Changes your heart from the inside out. And so here's how Paul closes it out. He says, at the moment I have all that I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts that you sent with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from His glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now all glory to God our Father forever and ever. Amen. So one of the things that you do see, and you can't experience this unless you actually practice it, is that if you begin to give, and maybe in college, I experienced this more in college than probably ever, even now, is that once you be able to give out, there was times when I was able to give where I felt like God called me to give, and I could see God more than I'd ever seen Him before, because I could see Him supplying my needs even as I was giving out. It's amazing. Amazing to see. It's like meeting God in a whole new way. You get to see Him. You get to see a whole new side of God when you start to give and be generous, okay? So think about those challenges, okay? Think about your parents. Think about giving out of your increase. Why don't we close in prayer? Heavenly Father, I pray that our funds, our resources that we've been given would express our passion for You. Just even today as we pray for our passion, this is one way to express our passion for You, is that I think about the woman on the plane that Luke shared about. She has a passion for You, and it comes out and it's expressed in so many ways. She couldn't hold it in. She just had to talk about You because she was so excited. Pray for us that our passion, our love for You would be expressed through the resources that we've been given, our time, our money, that we would be generous givers, like the Macedonians, that we would give out even of what we of our poverty, because we solely and firmly believe in the good news, in the gospel, that it changes lives, that that people's eternity is changed because of the good news. And that's what the Macedonians believe, that's what the Philippians believe, and that's why they supported Paul. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.